Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone at a bit of an unusual time, but that's okay. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the show, sir.
It's because I'm working. I'm in D.C. today.
Oh, by the way, I missed this, but happy birthday in arrears.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that was only about a month ago, but that's...
you're 2 weeks? Come on now. It's not that... you know, with all your rescheduling, I haven't had a chance to talk to you. See that?
Well, this is what you get when you get a new guy. You know, they've got us all over the place.
No kidding. So. No kidding. Okay, so we all watched the King's speech yesterday. Well, I mean, most of us didn't. We've been talking about it this morning. You feature prominently in the video as... Did you shake his hand? Did you touch him on the way out? Did you talk? You got to meet him, right? Personally?
Yeah. So no like formal meet and greet. It was like all this like strict protocol. Do not touch him when he comes into the chamber.
Were at the like White House. Like he's a holy man?
We were. It may have been because he was on tight schedule. I don't know. Cause he had a state dinner last night too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we did a reception at the White House with the King and Queen last night, which is a little bit odd.
Agreed.
I mean, you're talking about you're hosting him, yeah? Because Camilla's now she's Queen,
right?
He bestowed her that title, but it's still a little odd. I mean, here we're having a reception, a receiving of him at the same building his army and his great grandfather's army tried to burn down,
right?
You know, so
and we did kind of have a fairly high profile breakup from the whole monarchical system a few years ago, right? So it's all weird.
It is weird, but you know, but you go and you reflect it. And when he gave his speech, you know, he talked about how we stood shoulder to shoulder in World War I and II, you know, in Afghanistan. So I mean, so there was those conflicts, and look, and he made it clear. In a nice way, he tried to mend the fences. I mean, in the president's comments yesterday and today, or last night, were reflective. You know, it's obvious that you know he has a love for the history of the role that England has played as our ally. But you know, it's obviously right now the leadership in the prime minister's office is just not jiving with United States direction.
Right. And I thought the same thing. I thought the meat of the speech yesterday, a lot of it was quite good stuff. We certainly are much more a British, country than we are a French or an Italian or German or anything else in our history, our traditional laws and all that. But, you know, the bulk, the real meat of that speech was the, hey, remember 9/11, we were with you. Look at Ukraine. Are you with us? You know, and then also NATO. That was the meat of the speech, right?
Yeah, and then so last night at the correspondence dinner, the King had pivoted and told us, look, President Trump, I know you reminded us, if it wasn't for the United States, all of Europe would be speaking German.
Right.
And then the King goes, but you know, Mr. President, I'll remind you, if it wasn't for us, you'd probably be speaking French right now.
It was here. I actually have that clip, John. Put my computer on here. This is funny.
Indeed, you recently commented, Mr. President, that if it were not for the United States, European countries would be speaking German. Dare I say that if it wasn't for us, you'd be speaking French.
But see, Jimmy, to me, this highlights the awkwardness of this whole thing, because truth be told, if it weren't for the French, we'd still be colonies. I mean, you know, like it's an odd thing to brag about, right?
Yeah. So, I mean... But then when they told us to get back to your initial point, they told us, do not touch. So, and when they walked in the same way the president comes to the State of the Union. I mean, they literally sprinted by, okay? And then, so then he gave a speech. It was almost exactly 30 minutes. And then we didn't expect him to walk out the same way he came in, but he did. And I noticed he was shaking hands with people on the way out. So I said, well, hell, I stuck my hand out there and shook hands with him. But Camilla was actually... really friendly, you know, she kind of greeted there for that half of a second, we had a moment and shook hands with her too. So
you had your phone out. Did you take a selfie?
No, I tried to take pictures, but you know what? I got everybody's shoes. So, I mean, I was, you know, it was just in the rush of things. So, I think some people told me that they saw on video on the TV that we had shook hands, but I haven't seen anything yet.
But you weren't wearing a MAGA hat, right? Not this time?
No.
Trump was right about everything, hat.
what I did do, so we went to the White House yesterday, and they gave every person there a British flag and an American flag. Little hand ones. And so I thought, okay. I didn't wave, you know, flags because we were in the rain the whole time. But then when we went to the chamber, I took my American. I wouldn't take the British flag. I took my American flag. And the king goes and makes a comment about these, you know, small rebellion of these 13 original colonies. I took my damn flag out, started waving, and the speaker just made a beeline. You can see his eyes make a beeline on me. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, if he wants to make fun of us, then I'm going to say, hey, we won.
I mean, it's all fine and mending the fences to joke about the White House being burned, but also, you burned the White House. I mean, you know. So anyway, it's funny. We're talking to Jimmy Patronis, our congressman. Hang on for just a second, Jimmy. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Just one accident on the books right now at 9 Mile Road and Pathstone Boulevard. I'm seeing the delays both in the east and west bound of 9 Mile. So just be aware of that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Patronis. You did a town hall. Was it Monday? Like a kind of an online thing? Was it in person or online?
No, so it was a telephone town hall. We had, at the highest point, we had 3,000 people on the phone at one time. And we probably got to about 13 questions. When you do these, there's some structure that you've got to, if you're going to do one of these house rules, has structure you have to have. So it's just like a radio. You have to say, you know, who the town hall is for. Push star 3 for ask a question. So it's almost like how you have to do breaks in radio to say what the station identification is. So, but it was great. I got a lot of good feedback from the folks that called in or answered the calls. We got some takeaways with some policies. You know, the only probably downside in some of it is, you know, I don't get their information, and some folks need some follow-up. So, you know, I just gave out the office number a lot last night or Monday night and say, look, circle back with us when we get off the call, and we'll take a personal interest into it. Because sometimes folks get the call, but they don't realize what our office actually does. And we've got to constantly get out there and let people know the role that we can play in order to help them with maybe a challenge I'm with a government agency.
Very good. And by the way, I think, I cannot remember, did we do a radio town hall maybe one time? We ought to do that again, because we do that periodically with folks, and we'd love to have you in studio for an hour and take texts and stuff. It's fun, so.
Yeah, what I'll do is, what we call is fly out day. We'll fly out on a Thursday, and so I'll fly into Pensacola, and then we'll overnight, and then we'll do in studio y'all on
Excellent.
Friday morning.
Excellent. You were quoted, I think, by Channel 3 weighing in on the Department of Justice, who has been nothing if not unhelpful in the lawsuit against the Saudi government for their possible complicity, either by knowledge or otherwise, in the attack at NES Pensacola. Man, they've been dragging their feet. The Department of Justice is just not disclosing information. What can you tell folks who are still very concerned, not just for the families to get their justice if it's due, but also for us as people to know, you know, just how much was the Saudi government aware or involved or in anything connected to this? It's been a very, why isn't anybody being willing to say the truth about this for a long time?
Yeah, closure would be great. I remember making it there that night of the shootings, and it was very traumatizing. And so when you've got an event like that, you know, we reached out to the federal prosecutor for the Northern District, and we kind of got it's an investigation in progress. You know, when we are prepared to release more information, we will. And so it sounds like what I'm going to need to do, and I don't know how much more I'll be able to acquire out of this, is just go do a sit down with the federal attorney. But, you know, unfortunately, we've had changes in administration since this has taken place. We've had changes in federal attorneys since this has taken place. So as the new federal attorney comes in, he was not here in that capacity when the shooting took place.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a learning curve for everybody. They bring in different administrations, typically bring in a whole new team to run that office. So in addition to the current caseload, they probably have not dug into this a lot because there's probably some issue at the federal level, the national level, the Department of Justice on this investigation.
Yeah, I mean, one of the byproducts of having government changeover is government changeover, and especially when the large amount of dismissals and changeover under President Trump, and, you know, the families and the rest of us are eager and been following this all along, and, you know, they haven't necessarily because they have a lot of other responsibilities. It's a good point, but I'm looking forward to you having the sit-down with them. Obviously, the big news over the weekend was the assassination attempt again, another assassination attempt against President Trump. Of course, the bullets came nowhere near him, thank God. Secret Service worked. I think they've come under some criticism, which partially they deserve, but the system worked. But, I mean, you know, Rick Scott, I was talking to him yesterday, and he basically said, I just don't think the president can go to events. You know, I myself didn't go to that event, and partially I think he said it was out of concern about security that, you know, you just can't make these things safe.
Yeah, so the Secret Service director will be on Capitol Hill today answering questions regarding this about if there's breakdowns. Seems like the president is definitely fearless when it comes to this. He's committed that he's going to continue to do events, you know, and then the crazies out there that, you know, have attacked the construction of the ballroom. You know, this is kind of getting back to, you know, having a secure place to be able to do things like this would be great. I don't know if this is conducive for something like he's doing with the White House ballroom, but the Trump derangement syndrome that exists out there, anything this guy wants to do, you know, whether they see it positive or negative, they just want to stop it. And so I do think, you know, measures will be taken. Unfortunately, the president is going to be in a more, even more secure bubble than he's ever been. And
yeah.
Then, I mean, he stopped doing outside rallies, or at least kind of really restricted them. He's been doing behind glass now simply because of this.
No, it's terrible. And the thing that has, I mean, I guess maybe I'm just naive because I'm always amazed by things, and I've been amazed by the reaction that some people have online to pretend like this was all a pretend thing, you know, because sure, some guy decided that he was going to volunteer to go to federal prison forever in order to be part of some conspiracy to advance a ballroom construction. Like, it's crazy, but it's not just that they entertain these notions, it's that they think you're stupid if you don't believe this crazy conspiracy. We're in a weird place in the United States right now. Like, I've never seen it quite like this.
Yeah, this obsession with wanting to, and then this gets back to my Section 230 repeal stuff that we talked about at nauseam. You know, social media, you know, the way it is currently architect and designed, it is allowing these people to become social media darlings and movie stars. So how can we outdo somebody else so I can be memorialized and forever in their mind? But unfortunately, it's only for about 10 minutes because some other crazy is going to try to outdo them. And this is all becomes part of a propaganda tool that has a lot of good. Don't get me wrong.
Right,
a lot of good, but a lot of damn poison, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to out train wreck the last train wreck to get attention, and the willingness to engage in, you know, honesty and sincerity and civil debate is, you know, it's hard to make that case, honestly. And I mean, I try to do it every day, but
I'm going to steal your line, out train the last train wreck, because that's exactly what it is.
Last thing is, you know, the special session for Florida is beginning. There's a lot we could talk about with that, from the redistricting and also the AI. Just real quick, do you think that the AI protections, is that better handled state by state, or is that better handled at the federal level? Because the legislature, the House has kind of said, we don't really want to do anything because we want to let the feds handle this. But you tell me, you're in the federal legislature.
So I think that the argument for why it should be handled at the federal level is because this is a platform that crosses all states.
Mm-hmm.
So there are website cookie protections that exist strictly in California that don't exist anywhere else. And so then I remember when we would push for laws, our attorney, well, you can't do that because interstate commerce and all this stuff. I said, well, God, we're the state of Florida. Why should I care, you know, what they do in California if I want to have stronger laws for my citizens? So I understand where the governor's coming from and wanting to advocate for this. He has itty bitties, and this is something that he's, you know, his kids, to me, drive a lot of his policy. So I think this is where a lot of his passion for this policy is. It hits close to home with the FSU shooter using ChatGPT in order to, you know, kind of game plan his murder. So, but, you know, it would be easier if we could get our act together at the federal level to do something about it. But unfortunately, we've got a 1-2 vote sometimes majority right now. It's hard. It's really hard to get, you know, our legislation in for a landing and then expect the Senate to take something up. So, again, this is excitement and passion and urgency that the governor in Florida is feeling because he wants to make it happen on his watch.
For sure. Jimmy Patronis, he is our congressman for Northwest Florida District 1. As always, Jimmy, thank you for being so available. I certainly appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Take care. See
you. You bet. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. We've got one accident that happened on 9 Mile Road and Pathstone Boulevard. Still seeing some delays associated with that. Also, accident on Highway 90 eastbound just east of Parkmore Plaza Drive. That involving a pickup truck and an 18-wheeler over in Milton. So you definitely want to avoid that one. Thank you for the tip. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you are in the nude for doing some kind of home repair or you're like being told to do it, I mean, I don't know. I always have to be told. Or you build things for a living or anywhere in between. Pensacola Hardware is your place. And not just for the stuff. Okay, obviously, they have the stuff. But they're there for the advice, too. And, you know, this actually goes so far as if they see you buying something that they know requires sort of a little bit of extra knowledge or there's some safety issues, maybe concerned with that, these are the kind of folks that it's a community. And they've been doing this for 175 years. And they will stop and ask, you know, hey, have you ever done this before? Because they care. They, first of all, they want to make sure you get the end result you want, which is the job accomplished. But second, they just want to make sure that you do it safely. And a lot of the stuff that they sell is, you know, I mean, it's hardware. It can be dangerous stuff, chemicals and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, they're that kind of community-oriented neighbor who's there to help you do things and also to make sure that you do things well. And like I said, for 175 years, my goodness, since before the Civil War, they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Learning how to deal with criticism is a major part of life for every person. The 26th President of the United States, Theodore Roosevelt, helped shed some light on dealing with critics when he said the following, and I quote, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, who, at best, knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with the cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." Ladies and gentlemen, critics come and go, but I encourage you to continue to dare greatly.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
If your bathroom feels cramped, outdated, or hard to use, it's time for an upgrade. At Home Outlet, our stores are employee-owned by experts who help you create a bathroom that works for your space and your budget. From vanities with real storage to tubs, fixtures, and tile, we help you get the bathroom upgrade you deserve without overspending. You'll also find expert help for kitchens, flooring, and more. Home Outlet, bathrooms for everyone. Find your local Home Outlet online at homeoutlet.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You need information. News Radio 92.3.
Okay. You did say aft.
A-F-T. Aft.
And that's a word.
In the back of the cabin on the right side, Leo.
Well, why didn't you just say that to begin with, Roger?
The boat, people. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There is some new information on that shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Investigators say the Secret Service agent that was hit in the chest was protected not only by a bulletproof vest, but also apparently by his cell phone, which was in his pocket there on his chest. And they say that may have helped stop the impact as well. Authorities say the suspect, Cole Thomas Allen, fired as he ran through the security checkpoint, but they're still doing ballistics testing to confirm exactly what struck the agent.
Yeah, I think, you know, you had raised this question offline with me, and I thought it's not a bad question is, you know, whose bullet was that?
Yeah.
Just, you know, anyway, we don't know. But we don't know.
I think sometimes not saying something is saying
a
lot.
Yeah, no kidding.
Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates unchanged. They have a meeting today. Officials are balancing persistent inflation with signs of a weakening labor market. And two people hurt in Texas after a tornado hit mineral wells. Video showed a lot of damage, including flattened buildings and downed trees.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. Coming up next, we're going to talk to D.C. Reed, of course, the mayor. We'll talk about, do we actually know the venue yet for the Keela Richardson concert, assuming that it's going to happen? The Fricker Center, the Crime Data Dashboard, and the Pie in the Sky Amtrak idea.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Secret Service Director Sean Kern will brief members of the House Oversight Committee today. It's linked to the security breach during the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Kern met with lawmakers on Monday, where he maintained the security plan that his agency had put together for the dinner worked. But there are ongoing questions about whether the Secret Service should change its security posture.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the alleged gunman Cole Allen, returns to court tomorrow for his detention hearing. A busy 48 hours for top Pentagon officials.
There are hearings on back-to-back days, the House, then Senate Armed Services Committees. They're about the Trump administration's $1.5 trillion budget request. It's also the first time Secretary Hegseth is being questioned by members of Congress about the military operation in Iran.
That is Fox's Chris Foster reporting. The House hearing begins at 10 a.m. Eastern. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3. We've got 70 degrees right now with cloudy skies today. Our forecast with Marion Caldwell's up in just a few minutes. A former bookkeeper at Holly Navarre Intermediate School is facing charges after investigators say she is accused of stealing more than $15,000 from school accounts. 50-year-old Becky Jean Lynch was arrested Tuesday. The school discovered unauthorized credit card purchases and missing funds after her resignation earlier in April. Santa Rosa School District Finance Department providing some documentation to officials confirming the theft. Lynch is now being held in the Santa Rosa County Jail on $2,500 bond. Well, rivers in northern Escambia County are now approaching historic low levels as the extreme drought around the area continues. The Escambia River at Century dropped to 2.5 feet on Tuesday, getting closer to its all-time record low of 1.5 feet. That was set back in 1954. The Perdido River at Berno Park was just over 1 foot. During a major drought back in 2011, those rivers hit similar levels. Some rain chances in the forecast this weekend upstream in South Alabama could potentially offer some relief. Well, the city of Pensacola is moving its public recycling drop-off from the Summit Recycling Center to a monitored location at the Sanitation Transfer Center on West Leonard Street in May. That change comes after years of contamination issues with people using the unmonitored bins to dump mattresses, trash, and other non-recyclable items. The city says nearly 5 tons of material dropped off at Summit ends up at the landfill every week due to contamination. A 25-year-old Escambia County mail handler has been indicted on federal charges, including mail theft and drug possession. DeVincent M. Madison Jr. faces charges of delay or destruction of U.S. mail, theft of mail by a postal employee, and possession with intent to distribute marijuana. Each count carries up to 5 years in federal prison. Madison is set for trial May 18th in Pensacola. Well, crews are dealing with a wildfire in the Everglades. As of last night, this fire covered about 3,300 acres. It's 0% contained. No injuries or damage have been reported, but businesses in that area closing as a precaution. The fire started Monday. So far, no word on a cause for that. Former Florida Governor Rick Scott says he carried out his duty, signing death warrants because that was the law. He says that's the only framework that mattered when he was governor.
I told people, it's my job. My job is to do the job of the governor when I was the governor. And I said, that's the law. When people didn't like it, I said, you have the opportunity to go change the law. I tell people, if you don't like the fact that we have it in our state, then we do have a legislature and you can go with that and go right. Change it.
And Scott says that he evaluated roughly 400 death row cases based on severity and legal standing, prioritizing the worst of them and the ones with the strongest chance of surviving final Supreme Court review. He said the process was one of the most sobering aspects of being the governor. It's 7:35 here, News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still working that one accident that happened on 9 Mile Road and the Pathstone Boulevard. It's going really slow on 9 Mile right around the I-10 area, both eastbound and westbound. So just be aware of that. Also, Highway 29 going southbound toward 10 Mile Road, experiencing about a 10-minute delay. And Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 20-minute delay through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Warm and muggy to start your Wednesday morning with temperatures in the 70s. This afternoon, highs climb into the low 80s. Weather will be mostly dry today before rain chances increase late this evening and into the overnight. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR first morning weather forecast.
And right now it's 74 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Buying a home is about to get tougher. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports the average contract interest rate for 30-year mortgages rose to 6.37% from 6.35%. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home rose 1% for the week and were 21% higher year over year. Refinance demand fell 4% for the week. More bad news when it comes to gas prices. U.S. crude oil prices are higher this morning, up by more than 3% on reports that President Trump is dissatisfied with Iran's proposal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz. West Texas Intermediate currently hovering at roughly 103, Brent at nearly 115. New York City's first full-scale casino with live table games opened to gamblers more than a decade after voters approved an expansion of gambling in the state. Resorts World beat out gaming giants, including Wynn Resorts and Las Vegas Sands, to land one of three new casino licenses. The state says the three casinos could produce $7 billion in gaming tax revenue over a decade. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Man, I love this place. I've been surfing here since I was a kid. Now, seeing my grandson out on the water, it means everything to me. Watching him and taking in the blue waves, the sea breeze, the blurry horizon?
If you have geographic atrophy, or GA, subtle changes in vision could mean it's progressing toward irreversible vision loss. Izervay is proven to slow GA progression and could help preserve your vision for longer, so you may keep seeing the world around you. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is an eye injection. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may cause blood in the white of the eye, blurred vision, or a temporary increase in eye pressure. Do not drive or use machinery until vision has recovered after an eye injection or exam. Ask your retina specialist how you can slow your GA with Izervay. To learn more, call 1-855-IZERVAY or go to izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
The Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Opening Doors of Northwest Florida tomorrow at 9. Executive Director Bruce Cady and Autumn McAllister, Director of Emergency Services at Lakeview Center, help connect individuals from crisis response to coordinated entry, housing resources, and long-term stability. Opening Doors is the lead agency for the homeless continuum of care in our area. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 with Opening Doors of Northwest Florida, sponsored by Nurses on Call, serving nurse staffing solutions for the Gulf Coast.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
You know what keeps most people up at night?
It's not politics.
It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative.
Informative.
Local.
Local.
Dependable.
Dependable.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Great to have you with us. We'll be talking in just a second to Mayor D.C. Rees. First, I want to let you know that this interview is brought to you by Lambert Transfer and Storage. Choose the team with the legacy Lambert Moving Systems. Visit GoLambertTeam.com. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. So the biggest, hottest question in Pensacola right now that I'm aware of is, where is this concert going to happen? Because it was going to be at Wahoo's, and then it was going to be at the beach, and then it's going to be at the Hunter Amphitheater. And I heard somebody say that it was going to be at the Surfboard, and then it's going to be at the Bayview Cross, and then it's going to be at the, you know, the they're going to just do it at Baptist. I mean, not any of that. But, okay, where is it actually going to happen, assuming that it happens next Wednesday?
Well, all of those scenarios aren't wildly inaccurate, considering that's pretty much been our lives the last 48 hours, is following along that same path you just described. But we have confirmation as of yesterday. The concert will take place at Hunter Amphitheater behind Maritime Park.
Okay.
So the amphitheater to the south. We don't have set times yet. Today we will get a lot of confirmation around timeline. Because remember, what we're really doing here is you have a show that's going to have 6.5-ish million people watching it, a great 4-minute infomercial in Pensacola. And that's why this matters. You know, there's some people maybe who don't watch the show, or like, hey, why is this such a big deal? Why is the city spending time on it? Why is the mayor? Well, because a 4-minute infomercial about the city of Pensacola in primetime on ABC, I don't know how many millions of dollars that would cost.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's a pretty important thing to make sure that we have our best foot forward and that we put on this great homecoming thing, not only for Kela, but for the citizens to be able to enjoy it. So it's, you know, it's definitely a big deal. And it will be at the amphitheater. It will be the evening of Wednesday, May 6th. It'll be somewhere in the 6 to 7 p.m. time frame. We're going to confirm that. And then there'll also be a welcoming parade that will actually be on South Palafox Street. So think where New World Landing used to be, basically from Cedar going south towards Plaza de Luna, not all the way down there.
Okay.
But there'll be like a little mini parade there with bands and second line and things like that. That will happen. That will take place in the mid-afternoon before the show.
Fun.
So
okay.
At least mentally, you can kind of be planning on a mid-afternoon into the evening. Tickets will be free. We'll have details on how you will be able to get those. If the amphitheater tickets fill up, then there will be overflow opportunity into the stadium to watch on the big Jumbotron. You'll still be able to hear it loud and clear. Or if you want to be able to sit, because if you're in the amphitheater, you're going to be standing more than likely. So working through all those details, and we should have something. The goal with the entire team, the Wahoos, the city, American Idol, is to have something pretty firmed up to announce tomorrow, with maybe the hopefully making tickets available on Friday.
I two questions. One is, if it could overflow into Wahoos, why wouldn't it just be at Wahoos? And then the second question is, I know the beach obviously was under strong consideration. The visuals, like you talk about for being an ad for Pensacola, you know, don't get me wrong, Maritime Park and the amphitheater are great, but you know, beach ball in the background behind the, you know, the pavilion there has an extra appeal. I get the downside of parking and traffic and the cost of the bridge and all that kind of stuff, but can you maybe explain some of why we landed there instead of somewhere else?
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing is, I mean, this is a homecoming concert, and certainly, you know, Keela and her family and her friends come from the city of Pensacola. And I think it was important in representation of the people of Pensacola. And I know it's important to Keela and her family to have it where she's from. She played sports at SYSA. That's where her, you know, where she grew up, where she and so it's truly having it in a city where it's a little more accessible to friends and family and residents than the beach is. But no fear. Certainly, American Idol is going to be taping here all day. I can guarantee you. I don't know their schedule. I'm certain they're going to be going out to the beach. I believe they may even be staying out at the beach, the American Idol crew. So no, you can have it all. You can really have footage both ways.
And that was my thought, too, is I thought particularly for her friends and family and the community that's going to want to go, you know, no offense to the beach, but she's not from the beach. You know, she's from the city. And so, right. You know, let's have it. But Wahoos, why not in Wahoos instead of outside and overflow into?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, that's where we started. But the limitation was there just turns out that there's a school district baseball game, the one the year that they do, that's Wednesday at 11 a.m., which is awesome. 1,800 kids. I'm sure Keela and Drew are going to be able to have some interaction at that game. The Blue Angels are flying over. So it's almost like, I mean, perfect in that sense. But you would have had to flip the field. It would have been a significant expense to have a stage drug in there in 3 or 4 hours, 40 or 50 crew. And then you have some limitations on who can be on the infield, where you put people, things like that. So the Wahoos have been awesome, have been at every turn. Responding and willing to help in any way possible. It just wasn't feasible. We would have had to basically put money down yesterday, whether this thing happens or not. So there just were some limitations, but considering the significant expense of turning the field.
That all makes perfect sense. Plus, bury the lead. Blue Angels are going to fly over the baseball event. That's cool. Last thing on this subject, if she doesn't make top three, and we have every expectation that she will, but if she doesn't, you said yesterday emphatically that we will find a way to honor her because nobody from Pensacola has ever even cracked top five in this competition. So there's still going to be something. It just may not be this thing. Is that right?
Exactly. That's correct. Because we really won't know what her schedule is. I mean, a lot of times, many of these contestants that would not be in would go back for the finale. And so, I mean, her schedule would be completely different. But absolutely, bottom line is we will do something for Keela and her family and the community. We probably just won't do it on this enhanced timeline, I will call it, to be able to get it done. So if we may just kick this back a few weeks and get with her and her schedule and see what makes sense.
Breathe and think and plan. I like that. All right, hang on for just a second. Talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
You know, I think it would be a cool idea if the Blue Angels flew over during her concert.
So we couldn't
let
hear
the American Idol people. I don't know. I just think it'd be really good.
Hold on. You sound like a Hollywood producer. I've heard that in the last 24 hours.
All right. Traffic is brought to you by Florida West. Did you know that economic development is about building our economy for all our current and future residents? Presented by the Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Still dealing with the accident that happened on 9 Mile Road and Pathstone. Traffic is moving, but very slowly. Highway 90 coming into Pensacola experienced about a 12-minute delay in Highway 29 southbound approaching 9 Mile, experiencing about a 9-minute delay in 98 westbound as you approach Gulf Breeze is experiencing about an 8-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
I will say, John, I don't disagree with your dream. But what a moment
it would be
if
awesome.
You could have, she could sing the national anthem, the Blue Angels could fly over. If it's in the evening, if it's dark, maybe not the Blue Angels, maybe you get Trawling 5 or 6 to fly. I mean, lots of possibilities. I know the mayor's going to be super creative about all this, and everybody's on board with helping. All right, back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, a lot of stuff that we want to get to with you, but one thing that I have been asked, and you talked about it yesterday. First of all, the cardboard recycling or the recycling at Summit is going to go away May 4th. Star Wars Day is the last day. May 5th, it's going to be on Leonard Street. That's going to save us a ton of money for all kinds of reasons because basically all you're doing now is collecting trash. People deposit for free there. It's not recyclable, really. But yard waste, you guys have, I mean, it's hard to keep up with the yard waste, but I've had people telling me that they're more than a couple of weeks behind, days behind. Is this a citywide problem? Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And just a couple converging things. Number one, I mean, certainly our job is to get there as quick as we can and pick it up as quick as we can. And I can tell you we are doing it as quick as we can, but it's not up to satisfaction, which I certainly understand and apologize to our residents for. But the bottom line is everybody cuts their yard and their limbs right around the same time each year. and when you're operating a business that needs to be functional both financially and operationally, you can't just keep full-time people on all year round for this one month. So you have to kind of adapt, right, and do the best that you can. So, for example, I mentioned yesterday, we have an extra temp crew that's taking a temp truck, ultimately, or a truck that's usually not on the line that's going around your neighborhoods right now. We obviously, sanitation, you want to have as many jobs filled and retained as possible. That is one of our departments that obviously keeping in the folks is not the easiest. So if you know anybody that looking for a high quality job in the city of Pensacola, that certainly would be helpful. But we're about 6 business days behind because, you know, when things go wrong, sometimes the numbers can, anecdotally increase.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not saying that there isn't people that have been waiting longer than 6 days. What we can tell you is we're tracking it very closely and we're about 6 business days behind. So, you know, call it a week behind. So we, again, appreciate your patience. We also remind you that if you hire landscapers or anybody cutting trees, that is not allowed, that is not supposed to be picked up. And if you're renovating and you put debris out front, that's not supposed to be picked up. So that slows us down as well. So we're basically at about triple what we normally would be. And so we're going time and a half. We're going as hard as we can. That's what I can promise you. We aren't sitting on our hands saying we're not worried about it. So we appreciate your patience and forgiveness on that. But I can certainly tell you that we are on it as aggressively as we possibly can be with every body that we have to get that all picked up.
All right. Like I'm 5, explain to me the Fricker Center, where we're at, how we got here, and what we're doing.
Yeah, well, Fricker Center is a $10 million renovation that will be the second senior center ever in the city, official senior center. Bayview has been, you know, it's probably been, what, 40, 50 years or something like that since we've put in Bayview. In the first on the west side of the city, there'll also be a career opportunity there. There's going to be some health opportunity partnership with Baptist Hospital, really, truly making it a community center. So a $10 million facility, grant funded, 2 different grants, actually, will be storm hardened as well. And what will happen is basically all the classes are going to be out, the seniors, the school stuff will be out by the end of May, and then construction will begin. So and the hope will be to reopen in late spring of 27. But I wanted to make the point that we have contacted parents, seniors, everybody's well aware of this, and we want to make sure that there's no possible way that information could slip through the cracks, and we're helping people get over to other classes at Woodland Heights, at Cobb, et cetera. So we're being very proactive in making sure people have what they need during this downtime. But of course, we're very, very excited about having the biggest investment in a community center that we've ever had and doing it on a side of the city that hasn't historically seen that type of investment.
I think it was the last thing, but this is actually, before we get to the lightning round, probably the last thing. I'm not going to make you be the bad guy to say it. I'll be the bad guy to say it. Amtrak is never coming to Pensacola. It keeps coming up. You know, I've lived here since 2014. We periodically get this, you know, Amtrak is coming to Pensacola or whatever. It's never going to come here. It doesn't make sense. The money doesn't make sense. The ridership doesn't make sense. Mobile actively wanted to prevent it from happening. They didn't need to. It's never going to happen. I know you keep getting asked about it, and every once in a while somebody gets a burr and they ask, but you can feel free to just be silent if you don't want to disagree with me about anything. But your comments, you know, Mr. Mayor?
Yeah, quick version is if the hundreds of millions of dollars are made available by the federal government for rail, which isn't completely out of the norm, but a lot of that money goes to the Northeast, as you can imagine, things like that. If that money becomes available, we are certainly at the ready. That's what I would tell you. But this is not going to be something that's dictated grassroots from the mayor or the city council or the county commission or anything like that. To fund something like this, we are talking a massive investment, more than our 2 budgets combined to make it happen. So if we can do it, we're ready. We'll always have that train station ready to go, even if we put someone in there. That we really have to be waiting on other news to take place, other dominoes to fall before that really becomes something here.
So I've lied to you three times now. Last thing before the lightning round. This is the anniversary of the flood of 2014. Major flooding on Palafox, major flooding on Brent, major flooding from the airport. Piedmont blew up because of it. The scenic, all of these things. I always like to remind people that since then, the city and the county have done tremendous work to improve stormwater mitigation. We got projects going on Main Street right now that's being done. Palafox is in the process of being done. First time ever we're going to actually have storm drains down there. ECUA and or the city and or the county have done immense work, and we haven't seen that kind of rain again. But also, even at Sally, it wasn't nearly as bad as it had been during the flood, right?
That's right, and that is our benchmark. Every time we talk about one of these transformational stormwater projects, Hollis T. Williams, Main Street, all of these, that is the benchmark. That's what we point to and say, like, that really can't happen again. Right. And you know what? To give credit to our citizens as well, when we poll, what do you care about? There aren't a lot of cities that rank stormwater as high as we do, and I know it's from that 2014 flood, because it became so real to people and something you thought you'd never see. So right. So our citizens have advocated for it since then as well. That makes it a little easier on the government side to get these things done.
All right, the lightning round finally after many delays. always get to first question. What's the tackiest lawn ornament, decor, or landscaping element that you see people have in their yards?
Oh, I thought you were going to say mine. I was like, man, I'm just trying to keep up with my yard. probably other political opponent signs probably be my
guess. That's a crafty answer, non-answer. Well done. Well done. All right. What TV show would you like to go back and rewatch? But maybe it's daunting because there's so many episodes. But what TV show would you've watched it all, but you'd like to see it again?
Breaking Bad, for sure.
Oh.
I think that's one of the best of all time. But it's just too many seasons. I can't make that kind of commitment.
I actually just watched it for the first time recently myself. Last one is in the movie Demolition Man. I don't know if you've seen it. Taco Bell wins the franchise wars. If you had to predict a restaurant or service, if you want to think of it that way, that would win the franchise wars and be the only restaurant in the future, which one would it be and why?
Well, I haven't seen it, but I do know this answer, which is Waffle House, of course. It's open all the time. It's got more longevity than anybody else. 24/7, 365. You can't question endurance or stamina. I think that's an easy answer.
They probably could get FEMA funding, for expansion, as they are part of the warning network of real danger. So, okay, a good answer. All right.
That's right.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to talking to you again next week. Thank you, as always, for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Andrew.
John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Let's see here. If you're on Highway 90 over in Milton, both eastbound and westbound on Highway 90, right around the Avalon Boulevard, there's an accident that happened there that's got traffic really, really slowed down. Also, I-10 westbound between Pine Forest and 9 Mile, seeing about a 12-minute delay, and Highway 29 southbound headed toward 9 Mile. Expect a 7-minute delay. And 98 westbound headed into Gulf Breeze, experiencing a 15-minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, just one quick thing. I got a text from somebody saying, so Keela Richardson did make the top three. No, not yet. If she doesn't, then all of this will change. That's what the mayor was saying. It'll delay a week or two probably. But if she does, then next Wednesday will be the key, because it's time sensitive based on the show airing the following Monday.
Or even across the globe? Trust Lambert Moving Systems. Veteran-owned, military-approved, and now celebrating over 100 years of moving excellence. As a quality award winner, BBB accredited, and agent for North American Van Lines, they handle local, long-distance, industrial, and international moves with packing, storage, and warehousing available. Serving Pensacola to Mobile and all surrounding areas and supporting the Gary Sinise Foundation. Choose the team with a legacy. Lambert Moving Systems. Go LambertTeam.com.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Is your business church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event, let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
ADX Digital Lead, Brian Prowitz.
Digital marketing can be confusing, and with the security concerns and the internet, it might even be a little bit scary. But at ADX Digital, we use Double Verify. This means we only deliver ads to real people through trusted partners on secure websites and apps. No bots, no scams, no funny business. Actual people inside your target geography moved to action through effective planning and professional execution. That's ADX Digital.
No one does digital like ADX Digital Marketing. ADXDigitalMarketing.com.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Of my friend, I can only say this. Of all the souls I have encountered in my travels, his was the most human.
Good morning, 7:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. Oh, yeah, the Sanger is planning to do a concert with her as well. They put out a press release for that. Oh, you guys just sent me pictures of it, and then I put it away. The 25th, I think, if I remember correctly. Anyway, David Wayne's got a headline for us. David?
Well, an Austrian man is pleading guilty to plotting an attack on a Taylor Swift concert in Vienna. The 21-year-old defendant was arrested last August before the first of three Swift concerts in the Austrian capital. Although the plans were intercepted, authorities still canceled the shows.
It's also the head of OPEC. That's where their headquarters are at, weirdly.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.